This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Wat 'n groot voorreg om hier te kan wees en ja, dit is regtig lekker om hier te kan wees. Ons het nou vanoggend lekker vroeg daar uit sommer in die Wes gery en baie mis gekry langs die pad en die mis het nogal dik gehou tot hier en dis 'n lekker Kaapse winter weer eens, né? Wat 'n voorreg om 'n heerlike Kaapse winter weer te hê waar die wêreld lekker nat is en koud is. Ons het Vrydagoggend gevinnig opgery Oudtshoorn toe. Ons het netbal toernooi aan die gang daar gewees. So in my huis kyk ons nou netbal, né? Dit is nou ja, netbal word nou gekyk en ek dink so 'n bietjie beter vir die hart as van die ander sportsoorte wat heiliglik aan die gang is. Maar ja, ons het gisternamiddag teruggekom vanaf Oudtshoorn, so ek wil sommer vir julle vra net vir gebed ook vir Oudtshoorn, is maar nog lekker droog daar. Die boere is maar besig om nog regtig in geloof te staan vir deurbraak wat reën betref, so as julle saam met ons familielede daar in Oudtshoorn, julle kan vertrou vir 'n deurbraak wat hy gedoen het vir ons hier in die Kaap, hy ook sal doen vir die Karoo en ander gedeeltes van ons land waar dit nog droog is, maar ek sê toe vir die ouens, nee, dis lekker nat hier onder, maar niemand kla nie. Onthou julle so 'n klompe jaar terug, nee, en sê, oh, ons moet 'n kinderpartytjie reën, maar dit reën, wat gaan ons doen? Nee, en daar is nou niks, almal is net, yes, dit reën, prys die Here. So, it's incredible to know what can happen in our hearts when God comes and he's got his ways of breaking down pride, arrogance, independence. I think one of the results of the drought has been that you know, churches are standing together, communities are standing together, and that's something incredible. And I want to just thank the leadership of this church, together with Amanda and Gerard, just for the amazing way that you guys have been faithful in this congregation, the way that you've been faithfully serving God here, the small group facilitators, the volunteers, the sound people, who, by the way, are going to have front row seats in heaven one day. And the pastors are going to be way at the back. And sound guys, we just ask that you remember us, please. You know, wave from time to time to us. You guys are absolute legends. The setup team, there's so much glory that is due to your account and reward. But we want to thank you guys for your prayers. Thank you for just being faithful here in Paarl. And it's amazing to also see what God is doing between Paarl and Wellington. And just with the Wellington congregation that is going to journey with you guys and you with them. And you're going to be an incredible blessing to Wellington as well. And I know that by now, most of you guys know that Jan is going to be a little bit more involved here. It's about 2 days in the week. He's going to come and just be of assistance here to Gerard and Amanda. And he's going to be ministering here as well. And so it's going to be an amazing time going forward for you guys as two congregations. Also to pray about what is God's vision and purpose for this valley. This harvest that we are speaking about in Paarl, in Wellington, this entire valley, what is it going to look like? And for you guys to partner with one another. And I want to extend an invitation as well from some of the West Side. Guys, please join us for Convergence. We're looking forward to hosting you there. That's also a miracle. We've been blessed by this incredible venue by a congregation called New Gen. Some of you guys might know the New Gen congregation in Somerset West. And they said, look, we just want to bless you guys. Want van julle onthou 2017, hè, toe dis mos Convergence hier gehad in Paarl, en van julle het baie hard gewerk om dit alles reg te kry vir ons, ook die skool, en was so groot blessing gewees. Maar nou tot 'n venue gekry, gratis, die kerk gee dit net vir ons, ons betaal net die ouens om het skoon te maak na die tyd, en dit is a massive blessing. En dieselfde gebeur in Pretoria, ons het daar, ek dink, is Doxa of Lewende Woord, hulle gee ook vir ons die venue vir niet vir die naweek, betaal in die skoonmaakspan, dit is amazing. Nee, dit is regtig so groot, een ongelooflike groot blessing om te sien wat die Here doen in die liggaam van Christus, hoe hy besig is om mure af te breek. En julle was regtig een bietjie profeties wat dit betref, hier in die vallei, met die B2G, dit klink amper, is daar nie een fliek oor die Friendly Giant, is daar is maar so, klink amper so, ek weet nie, B2G, Better Together. Nee, maar jylle is regtig profeties in daai opsig, hoe jylle as gemeente saam staan en toelaat dat die Here net skeidsmure tussen ons en ander gemeentes afbreek. Want op die einde van die dag is nie een van ons as gemeente sterk genoeg, groot genoeg, begaafd genoeg, gesalfd genoeg, dinamies genoeg om die oes alleen in te bring nie. Ons het mekaar nodig. Nee, en ek dink dis een van die dinge, ek is ongelooflik opgewonde oor wat die Here doen in Shofar. Ons het so rukkie terug ons pastoor saamtrek gehad en allemaal het by mekaar gekom en dit is ongelooflik om te sien wat die Here doen in ons harte, tussen mekaar, onder mekaar en ek gaan so 'n bietjie deel rondom dit vanoggend, maar een van die dinge waaroor ek amper nog meer opgewonde is of opgewonder is, weet nie, Afrikaanse mense moet my nou help, is die feit dat die Here is besig om iets radikaals te doen in die breër liggaam van Christus. Regtig besig om ons harte saam te snoer, vir ons een visie te gee, en ons is besig om te beweeg na plek waar ons verby ons verskille kyk en ons begin fokus op die dinge wat ons in gemeen het met mekaar. Want dat is eintlik meer wat ons in gemeen het as wat ons verdeel. En as ek wil regtig vir julle aanmoedig ook om voort te gaan en dit lekker in te bid in die gees, maar vanoggend wil ek met julle bietjie gesels oor, ek het nou in Engels voorberei, so ek sal miskien so bietjie maar wissel tussen die twee, maar die titel van my boodskap is The Heart of the Matter. En ek het hierso vir my notas gemaak en onder andere was, wat ek vir myself neergeskryf het, is vraag vir Rika om aan die einde Heart of Worship te sing. En daar is dan sommer nou lekker hier aan die begin gesing, ne? So dis ongelooflik net om te sien weer eens hoe getrou die Heilige Gees is. En baie keer kom ons as pastore of mense wat die woord bedien, en een van die voorregte wat die Here vir ons gee, is hy gee vir ons, soos die Engelsman sê, front row seats. Dit is amper asof jy kry so 'n eerste blikkie op wat die Here besig is om te doen, en dit speel voor jou oë af, en ek kan sien dat die Here besig is om hierdie gemeente diep werk te doen in julle harte. En ek sien dit oral oor, soos wat ons rondreis na ons verskillende Shofar gemeentes toe, is die Here besig met 'n gesprek met ons, en glo met die liggaam van Christus rondom die toestand van ons hart. Vir 'n baie lang tyd was die kerk van die Here Jesus Christus vasgevang en as ons meegesleer deur 'n obsessie met die uiterlike. Want ons glo nog dat indien ons 'n klomp uiterlike dinge kan regkry, indien ons 'n klomp uiterlike dinge in plek kan kry, dit die sleutel gaan wees tot groei. En ek weet dat julle vertrou die Here vir groei hier in Parel. Ek weet dat groei is van God af, God verwag groei van ons, ons weet Jesus toe by die vyeboom kom, daar kom hy vyeboom, het nie vrug gedra nie en Jesus was so 'n bietjie ontsteld gewees met hy vyeboom. En daar waar daar lewe is daar groei. En God verwag van ons om te groei. Soos wat ons babietjies gebore word en hulle kom in die lewe in, is daar mos geen manier God verwag van daai ouetjie om nou te weet hoe om sy bed op te maak, hoe om te budget, hoe om sy kamer skoon te maak en al die dinge nie. Al wat hy moet doen is, hy moet sy melkies drink, hy moet poep op tyd, hy moet weet al, hy moet slaapies op tyd. Dis al wat van hom verwag word. Wees net 'n babietjie. Geniet jouself, laat die ander mense worry oor, waar kom die skoon doeke vandaan? Jy hoef nie te dink, ek is nog my derde doek al vandag, waar gaan die geld vandaan kom vir die volgende doek nie? Jy kan ontspan, wees net 'n babietjie. Maar, 'n klompe jaar later, as tiener en 'n bietjie later in jou lewe, dan gaan God begin om 'n paar ander dinge van jou te verwag. Dan kan jy nie meer die hele wêreld vol skei en net aangaan en dink, ekskuus, ek weet nie, Afrikaans, dit 'n goeie regte woord om te... Nee, dit is nie, jammer. Jy kan nie net toilet toe gaan daar waar jy wil nie. My vrou gaan my weer vasvat na die tyd, oor hierdie. Okay. Jylle kry die prentjie nie. As 16-jarige, is dit nie meer cool, as jy dink, jy kan maar net toilet toe gaan daar waar en wanneer jy wil. En daar's 'n paar ander dinge wat jou ouers van jou gaan verwag. En dit is dieselfde, miskien moet ek maar in Engels spreek, is dalk veiliger. Is dalk veiliger. Maar jylle kry die boodskap. Alright. So die Here verwag groei van ons, maar daardie groei is seisoenspesifiek. Amen. Dat die groei wat die Here van my verwag is nie die groei wat hy verwag van my 8-jarige, my 12-jarige of my 14-jarige nie. Dit is groei spesifiek, maar die Here verwag wel groei. En dit is belangrik vir ons om te besin oor wat is dit wat gaan aanleiding gee tot volhoubare groei. Groei wat nie net daar gaan wees vir 'n maand, 6 maande, 6 jaar nie, maar groei wat eintlik verby ons, amper ons lewenstydperk kan gaan. Want wat ons wil los, ons wil 'n erfenis nalaat vir die generasie wat na ons kom. Ons wil nie net iets bou wat vir nou mooi lyk, wat vir nou goed is, en dan sodra ek van die toneel af verdwyn, dan stort die hele storie in duie nie. We want to establish a legacy. We want to be able to build with material that will withstand the test of time and storms and all of those things that come against us. And so it was within those context that I started speaking to our pastors around just what makes for growth, what makes for sustainable growth. And I want to share a couple of those thoughts with you guys this morning. And as a backdrop, I want to share with you a prophetic word, and I've made a short video clip that you guys are going to receive in the week Just around this prophetic image and picture that God gave us during the pastor summit. And so we were praying as we were coming together as pastors and worshiping God. And somebody gave us a word that said that the shofar that God has given us, God is going to baptize that shofar in new oil. So that person saw these two containers, big containers filled with oil, and then these shofars being dipped in the oil. And then at one stage, I asked some of our pastors, we had a shofar there, and I asked the guys, come in and blow the shofar for us. And so we had some of our best shofar blowers coming forward to blow that shofar, and nothing happened. There was no noise that came out. Now, that's a little bit unsettling, you know, if you are shofar, and there's no one that can blow a shofar. That is like, oh, my word, what's going on here? And then it was actually a brand new shofar that hasn't been opened up properly yet. And so in that moment, as that is happening, one of our pastors slip out, and they come back with this painting wrapped up, and said that last year they met somebody in Johannesburg who started praying for us. And she got this this prophetic word that I want to read for you. And I want to leave it with you guys. I want to ask you that you would pray into this as well. And the reason why I'm sharing this with our congregations is the days where a pastor or a small group of leaders had to carry the anointing or had to carry the fullness of the revelation of the vision or responsibility, those days are gone. God has never meant for church to be run by one person or an elite group of individuals who have a hotline to heaven and the rest are just on the receiving end. Amen? God has broken down the veil. He has given all of us access into the presence of God. And if we are going to move forward, then we have to move forward together, because it truly is better to be together than by yourself. And so I want to share this word with you, and I want to ask you guys that you would receive this word into your hearts and that you would pray through this. And so they came and gave us this painting. We unveiled it, opened it up, and then it was this beautiful shofar with this oil flowing through it. Now, this was in the exact same moment where we have this, call it the old shofar, that we're wanting to blow. Nothing is wanting to happen. The previous prophetic word that came out was God is going to baptize the shofar in oil. And now we get this painting that was finished a couple of months before the shofar pastor's conference. And at the exact same moment, that person didn't even know what the painting was going to be. She brought it, we unveiled it, and that was it. Now, if that isn't a word from God, then I don't know what is. God was speaking to us that it is time for us to break with some of the old things. That God is doing something new. He's giving us a new vision. He's giving us a new passion. And He's giving us new wine. And I'm going to read this for you before I get into some more detail. And so this person had this prophetic vision and image and said that I saw an attack of the enemy against the sound that would be released from this place. So there was an attack against the sound. And I want to encourage you, if you think about your own life, you think about the attacks that come against your life, whether it's fear, whether it's financial pressure, it ultimately all has this one thing in mind, and that is to steal a sound from your mouth. Because faith ultimately manifests in how you speak. And so all the attacks, all the pressure that come against you in your life ultimately has as its one aim to silence your mouth. It wants you either to become bitter and cynical, or it wants to silence you so that you don't speak life. And so for us as a church family, we went through a time where there was an attack against the sound that would be released from this place that we call home. But that attack is broken and it left because you prophesied. And just like Ezekiel prophesied to the dry bones and they started living, be encouraged to continue to prophesy. Now please remember again that prophesying is not just dressing up in camel hair and eating locusts and being all weird and your voice start trembling and we say, thus saith the Lord, and you get all funny. Prophesying is simply understanding what is the will of God and then speaking that. That is prophecies. What is the will of God and then speaking that, singing that, and living that. So God is calling us once again to not walk away from our prophetic mandate as shofar. There's a reason why God has given us the name shofar. He could have given us Doxadeo or Leaven of Word or Every Nation, all beautiful names in itself, fantastic, wonderful names. But that is not the name God has given us as a church family. And you are not this morning sitting in another church with another name. You are sitting in this church that is called Shofar. Amen. So it is important for us to just have a conversation again around why are we called shofar? What does it mean? And the shofar has always been used to be a prophetic instrument. An instrument that calls people to a place of readiness in the spirit, to wake up from their sleep, like David, to go into a situation and to see, but there's an enemy, and that enemy is going to do whatever he wants to do unless someone stands up and say, enough. Unless someone draws a line in the sand and say, enough. We will not allow the cycle to continue. God needs a prophetic people who will walk into communities where there has been poverty for generations and to say, enough. We will not allow this poverty to continue. We need a generation that's going to stand up and say, enough. We will not allow the addictions to continue. Enough. We will not allow the divorce to continue. Enough. We will not allow the kidnapping to continue, the human trafficking to continue, the abortions to continue. There needs to be a prophetic community that once again will say, is there not a cause? This Goliath is walking around. He's thinking he can do what he wants to do, but there is a God, a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords, and he has delegated his reign to his people. God, who sits enthroned in the heavens, is working history towards a climatic end where he's coming back, and he's coming back to a victorious church. Amen. He's not going to come back to a defeated church. He's coming back to a victorious church, but he has ordained that his rule and his reign, when we pray, God, let your kingdom come, let your will be done, God has chosen not to manifest that kingdom through angels and through spiritual beings primarily. As ons sê, Here, laat u koninkryk kom, laat u wil geskied, dan bid ons nie. Here, stuur 'n engel om u koninkryk te laat kom en u wil te laat geskied nie. As ons bid, Here, laat u koninkryk kom en u wil geskied, dan sê ons eintlik primêr deur my. Dis eintlik daai gebed is eintlik ek steek my hand op en ek sê Here, laat daardie koninkryk vandag by my skool, by my werksplek, in die huis, laat dit deur my kom. Laat u wil deur my geskied primêr. And so the shofar speaks about that place of calling us to a place of readiness, a place of vigilance, a place of prayer. I don't have time to go into all of those details. And a place also of celebration, because the shofar was blown to announce the feasts. The feasts in Israel that called God's people into a time, into a season of rejoicing. And that's why we believe in starting our services with rejoicing, praising God, because it is a prophetic picture of the rejoicing that will take place one day. It is also an instrument that was used to anoint others. You know, we mostly, when we anoint people, we've got these little tubes of oil that we use. And you sit jy op jou vinger en dan druk jy maar in iemand se kop en jy salf die persoon. Nou in die ou dae, die profete met hierdie shofars rondgeloop met olie en met so 'n proppie daaronder. Dat hulle hom oopgemaak en hy olie oor iemand se kop uitgegooi. Nee, you anoint my head with oil. Remember that picture? Dis nie jy druk so 'n bietjie olie hier in my voorkop en dan voel ek nou lekker nie. As jy gaan staan onder daai olie word oor jou uitgegooi en dit loop van die bopunt van jou kop af tot die onderkant van jou voete. And so the anointing oil speaks about a prophetic ability that God gives us, just like Samuel when he walked into David's family. Remember this whole situation where he was looking for a new king. Saul had lost his authority. God was looking to raise up a new king. And then there was this competition called Israel's Got Talent, all right? And everybody was invited to Israel's Got Talent except David. Now, the sad thing and the tragic thing is the organizers of Israel's Got Talent was David's dad, all right? He organized this thing and all the other brothers got invited except David. And none of his brothers and none of his parents apparently thought that David could be king, amen? Otherwise, they would have invited him. Samuel says to Isai, I'm looking for someone to anoint as the new king. Bring who you think will be able to do this job. Nobody thinks of David. And then Samuel's like, ja, nie een van hierdie ouens gaan dit maak nie. Is daar nie nog iemand nie? Oh, yes, like it. WhatsApp gou vir David. David, profeet soek jou. Ah, kom David aangehardloop. All right, and Samuel says, that's it. God speaks to him and says, you are looking on the outside, Samuel, but I'm seeing a king here. You're seeing a shepherd boy. And that is an integral part of the anointing that God has called us to live in. An ability that when other people simply see someone working at a petrol station or simply see a housewife or simply see a teacher, we will see something more. We will see in the spirit. And we will call out their destiny. We will not judge one another, look at one another through the eyes of the world. We will look at one another based on your income, your degree, your skin color, your age, your gender. We will look at one another through the eyes of the Spirit. And we will call forth their destiny. And we need to be that prophetic community that when we come together, we are able to recognize what did God place inside of you. Who's God calling you to be? And to agree with Him. Because that is what prophecy is. Prophecy is, I agree with God's will. Not just for my life, but for your life as well. And I'm speaking that and I'm declaring that. And so, so we are encouraged to continue to prophesy. Continue to speak life. And I want to thank you guys in this church because I know there is no way that this church would have continued to be here unless you had agreed to agree in your heart with what God is saying. It took faith, amen, for us to get here. It took faith for you to be here. And I want to thank you guys for choosing to speak life. Continue to do that. Continue to prophesy. The Lord asked Ezekiel, this word continues, can these bones live? And Ezekiel released God's word into the atmosphere and prophesied to the breath. And then life came where there was no life. I also saw the man with a withered hand stretched out his hand. And when the world stretches out their hand and reveal their sickness, their shame and their hurt, do what Jesus did. Jesus healed with a word. Be encouraged to continue releasing words of restoration. This will also not just be a place where one sound will be heard. And this is such an important part for me. This will also not just be a place where just one sound will be heard. It will be a place where many will have a voice. A sound will come forth from this place. Many will have a sound. Yes, all of you will have a sound to be released where you move, also in the workplace where you move, also in the music and the arts. And Psalm 92 verse 10 says, you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. Take the fresh oil, the fresh touch. A reminder that we are anointed to go around and do good and deliver those who are oppressed by the enemy. And so this prophetic word speaks to us and says to us that the days of just there being one Samuel in Israel are gone. God is not just looking for one man to carry the anointing. He has poured out His Spirit upon all flesh. That is the promise that God gives us. And so what He's asking us all to do is to add our voice to the blowing of the shofar. Because this shofar sound, a shofar doesn't exist in isolation. Without the voice, the breath behind it that gets blown into it, it's just a dead ram's horn. It's all that it is. It's not magical. It doesn't have magic power. You can't touch somebody with it and then something falls on them and they all of a sudden become a supernatural being filled with the Spirit of God. That thing carries nothing in itself. It is something symbolic that speaks about the people of God's voice behind it, the voice of agreement, the voice of unity. And when we blow this, a sound gets heard in the Spirit. And so when we talk about coming together at convergence, it is bringing all of our voices. When we talk about blowing the shofar here in Shofar Pal, it is about all of you adding your voice, arising and saying, what did God place inside of you? Bring your voice. This community needs each one of you to bring your voice. Not to wait for somebody else to blow it, not to wait for somebody else to do it, because God has put His Spirit of resurrection inside of you. God se opstandingsgees woon binne in elkeen van ons. Ek het nie meer van sy gees as wat jy het nie. Dit is binne in elkeen van ons en die tyd het gekom vir almal van ons om ons stem toe te voeg tot hierdie geluid wat God wil vrystel oor ons land. Nou agter daardie geluid, agter die blaas van die trompet, die krag van die klank wat uitgaan, hang direk af van die krag van die hart waaruit daardie asem kom. En as ons hart swak is, ek weet nie of jy al probeer het om 'n shofar te blaas as jy bietjie moeg is nie. Of jy maagspier nie so lekker sterk is nie. Dis maar 'n patetiese geluidjie wat daar uitkom. En die klank van die shofar word bepaal, die geluid, die volume van die shofar word bepaal deur die krag van die hart. Die hart bepaal hoe ver en hoe hard daardie geluid gaan. En dit is waaroor ek met ons as gemeente praat en the New Living Translation has this verse that we all know very well, Proverbs 4 verse 23, that says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else, all right, above anything else. Keep your heart with all vigilance, the English Standard Version says, for from it flow the springs of life. And I know that we all know that if we want to make a difference in our communities, we need the springs of life to flow. This community doesn't need more fancy ideas, somebody else with another degree coming up with another thesis, as powerful as those things can be. It doesn't need more of man's plans. It needs springs of life to flow. And when the springs of life flow, then an NGO or a architectural plan or a media article or a curriculum can bring about lasting change. Why? Because of the springs of life behind it. Because of the springs of life behind it. But if the springs of life are not opened up, then that architectural drawing, that curriculum, that NGO will just be a dead work that will keep people busy and maybe do something good for a little while. But God hasn't called us simply to do good for a little while, to try and build things that we hope will be successful. He has called us to have springs of life flow from us so that the world can drink from that and can have life and life everlasting. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Right, that's pretty straight. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So, as we are sitting in this room, we are here and we are who we are because of things that have been in our hearts. We are where we are who we are because of what is in our hearts. Now, that sounds like a very straightforward statement to make. But the reality is this, most people live in denial of that. Most people would say, I am where I am, and I am who I am, based upon external circumstances. That somebody else has done something to me, and therefore I am who I am. Somebody else has done something to me, and therefore I feel the way that I feel. And if we do that, then we are abdicating the power that God has given us to live from the heart. To actually say, I'm going to live from the inside out and not from the outside in. And a lot of people live from the outside in instead of from the inside out. And God says, no, but I've given you the spirit of resurrection inside of you. And if Christ's spirit lives inside of me, then surely Christ's spirit has a greater influence on my circumstances than my circumstances will have on me. But if I don't believe that, then I will forever be a victim. You know, one of the incredible things of traveling to different shofar churches and congregations is that we get to see amazing people. So I was in Burundi. Many of you guys know Pastor Everest. He's been ministering here, I think, once or twice. You know him. Some of you guys have helped him to get here as well and to bless him financially, which has been amazing. One of the first things that blessed me as I got there was the incredible joy that the Burundians have. The incredible connection that they have with one another. When they see each other, the joy with which they greet one another. And they laughing and high-fiving and talking loudly and just a lot of laughter. And I'm like, my goodness, in the natural, you have got way less than what we have. And yet in the spirit, you seem to have much more. Because your physical circumstances are not determining your joy. Like, that is amazing. That is almost supernatural. And I was challenged by that. How often do I allow my physical circumstances to determine my joy? And I will only allow my physical circumstances to determine my joy if I lose sight of the fact that it is my heart that is the main impetus of my life. Everything you do flows from it. And so my conversation with our pastors have been this. Are we honest with our hearts? Are we honest with our hearts? It says, everything that I do, if I serve here on the stage, or I serve there, or I serve in the kids' church, or I go outside and I work in the community, the way I treat my wife, the way I treat my kids, all of those things, every decision that I've made, according to the Bible, not according to Heinrich, everything I do flows from my heart. Now, of course, we do know that the outside world exercises a tremendous influence upon us. Great pressure. Now, all of us sitting here have lived long enough to know that if you are a young believer, maybe, and everything in your life has just gone well, then it's easy to stand up and shout hallelujah when you read this verse. But all of us sitting here know and can look back on our lives when we know I did not live from the inside out. It's not that easy always, is it? Unless you find it incredibly easy. I know I at times find it difficult. It's not always that easy, but it is the truth of Scripture. And I think that as a body, God wants to encourage us to take back, in a sense, almost take back your power. Take back your faith. Take back your joy. Take back your peace. Take back your sense of purpose and vision. As I was praying for this church last night, I sensed that in this room, there are Davids. Men that God had called to live with a faith that will supersede the size of the giant. And then you have been in a place where at one stage in your life, you could walk up to a Goliath and you could say, but God has given me victory over the lion, over the bear. He probably started with a jackal. And David didn't mention the jackal, but I'm sure there must have been a jackal in there somewhere. And God, just, you know, you could exercise on the jackals and then upgraded to the bear and upgraded to the lion and then upgraded to Goliath. But you have sort of forgotten about that lion. You've forgotten about that bear. And you have taken upon yourself Saul's armor. You know, Saul's armor is simply this, that the things on the outside will protect me. Or the thing on the outside determines my strength. Shake off Saul's armor. Rise up to be that David again. You know there's a victory in your life. Either as a student or either while you were standing in faith for your marriage, something happened and you know that you know that you know that you know that wasn't just good fortune. There wasn't just your intelligence. It was God that gave you victory over that lion. God that gave you victory over that bear. And he has called you to live like that again, to take back that faith. But the challenge for us is this. In Matthew 15, verse 8 to 9, Jesus has these powerful words to say to his people. He says, and he quotes from Isaiah, and the context of this verse is that the Pharisees come to Jesus and they say to Jesus, Jesus, why are your disciples not washing their hands? They're eating with unclean hands. And so the Pharisees are focused on the external things. Right? They think that if you are a good Jewish boy and you do all the outside things, then you have eternal life. And that is what Jesus was up against all the time. He came against that spirit of religion over and over and over again. And he challenges them and he says, it is not the externals. It is the internal. Because they come and they speak to Jesus and they attack Jesus' disciples based on something on the outside. And Jesus challenges them back and he says to them, in essence, you can go and read the story. It basically boils down to this. You come and you speak to my disciples about washing their hands. You guys aren't even honoring your mother and your father. And you want to come and speak about whether their hands are clean or unclean whilst they're eating. Your hearts stink. Go back, honor your father and your mother, then we can have another conversation. And that's what a spirit of religion does. It causes us to focus on the external things. The color of this, the volume of that, the size of this, the smell of this. And it says, let's move away from the externals and let's talk about what is in your heart. What is in your heart? And for us who live in a sort of a Pentecostal charismatic expression of church, it is easy for us to look at other churches and say, those guys are the religious ones. But we can be as religious, singing all of our fancy songs, being very laid back and having our incredible coffee, and still be very religious, have our hearts far from God, sing incredibly anointed songs, but be in a completely different space in our hearts. And God is saying to us, Shofar, I'm wanting to have conversations with you about your heart. Because it is your heart that determines where this thing is going. Not in which building you are. Thank God for this incredible, beautiful building. I walk in here, I've got to again fortify my heart and say, Jesus, I will not covet my brother's church building. I will not. I will resist that devil. I will not. But as amazing as this church building is, it is not about this building. It's not even about the size of this group. It's not about the amazing band that Rika and the guys have put together here. It's not about any of those things. It is about what goes on in the individual hearts in this church. What is going on in your heart? Because what is going on in your heart determines where this work is going. Amen? what's going on in my heart, not the structures that we are putting in place, not what we call ourselves, not the next banner, the next best thing up against the wall in terms of our vision statement, all of those things. It is what is going on in the heart. What is going on in the heart? These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That is such a, it's like an ouch statement right there. And we have to, and that's why that song is so powerful. And I'm going to ask if we sing that song again at the end. And we just bring our hearts back to God. Because none of us wake up in the morning and say, hey, today is a good morning for me to say, God, I'm going to remove my heart from you. Today I'm going to become a hypocrite. Today feels like a good day to become hypocritical. It doesn't happen like that, does it? It happens slowly but surely. And it very often starts with us making a decision to protect our hearts against hurt. And so when the Bible says, guard your heart, some of us will be going, yep, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm guarding my heart, that's why I'm not serving. I'm guarding my heart, that's why I'm not talking to that person. I'm guarding my heart, that's why I'm not in that small group, and I'm in this small group. I'm guarding my heart, that's why I'm coming in last, I'm leaving early. I'm guarding my heart, that's why I'm not going to Christmas with my folks. You understand what I'm saying? I am protecting my heart and my own strength. And when I'm protecting my heart and my own strength, I am leaning on the arm of the flesh. And then I'm not protecting my heart, I am hardening my heart. The only person that can protect my heart is God. I can't. As soon as I go into my marriage and I'm like, all right, this hurts too much, I'm going to be protecting my heart, I'm going to be guarding my heart, I'm going to put up my defenses, it's toast for my marriage. We start drifting. You cannot love and not risk being hurt. And the same in church. It's unfortunately impossible to be in an environment like this, in any church environment, and not be hurt. So 2 weeks ago, we had Heinz Winkler ministering at our church. If you want to get him to minister here, give his number. He's an amazing, incredible man of God. And, you know, he asked this question, who's ever been hurt in church? Pastor sitting at the front, pastor puts up his hand. I didn't want to look behind me. Who else? You know, but I'm 43, almost 44 now. I've been in church for 44 years of my life, all right? Things happen. Stuff happen. You get hurt in church. But again, you can decide, will you allow that thing that happened on the outside to determine your heart? Or are you going to live from your heart and trust God to protect your heart and live from the inside out? And so afterwards, somebody sent my wife a text, and she said, "Ach, shame, man. We saw Heinrich putting up his hand when Heinz asked whether, you know, anybody's gotten hurt in church. We just want him to know that we oldies, we love him very much, and we think that he's amazing." Like, hey, but you know what? I don't really care too much anymore what people think of me. I'm going to live from my heart. You know, the religious spirit is all about how does it appear. Wat het lyk vir die mense? Kan almal tog net dink ek is so wonderlik? Ek gaan net nie kom nederig wees hier en vulnerable wees hier, net weet die mense ek is nie so perfek nie. En dan stap ons met al die goed in ons harte rond and we actually keep the love out. We actually keep the love out because we're trying to protect the hearts and then what we do is we start blame shifting. We start shifting the blame to other people. Dis hulle. Nee, dit is altyd nee, dis maar so 'n spesiale plekkie in die hel vir hulle. Nee, dis hulle. Dis altyd hulle. Nee, hulle het dit gedoen. Wie hulle nou ook al is. Dan gaan miskien 'n plekkie wees vir al die gelowiges net voor ons by die hemel kom waar die Here vir ons gaan vra, jy moet eers repent van al jou wrokke teenoor hulle. And so Jesus says, it is what comes out of the mouth. Well, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart and this defiles a person. Dis nie wat jy eet nie, dis nie of jy band of nie band, dis nie of jy al die goeders vet met jou vleis eet en dis nie al die dinge nie. Sommige goed is meer gesonder as ander, maar dit maak jou nie minder geselfde gelowige of nie. Ek gaan nou dalk op 'n toon of twee trap. Dis nie of jy normaal gekraam het of nie, of gekeiser het of nie. Dis nie of jy jou babetjies geborsvoed het tot 18 maande of 5 jaar of nie, ingeënt of nie ingeënt nie. Amen, kan ons dit maar sê? Nee, ons stap, ons erken het nie, maar ons stap met die goeders rond in ons harte. Teenoor mense en ons dink, jy moes eintlik maar net 'n bietjie meer geloof gehad het, dan kon jy pynvry geboorte geskenk het. En dan sit ons dan sit ons druk en condemnation op mekaar, en niemand gaan dit herken nie, maar die arme mama gaan nooit herken sy slaapie deur die nagie, want ek is mos nou 'n geselfde van die Here. Nee, en hierdie babiekie is 'n geskenk van God af, so nou gaan ek nie sê ek sukkel nie, en ek gaan nie sê ek ly aan postnatal depressie nie, ek gaan dit verseker nie herken nie, want ek is in die kerk. En die pa gaan nie sê, hy kom nie by die Here uit nie, want hy werk so hard, en hy slaap te min, hy gaan nie sê sy gebedslewe is by die deur uit nie, want hy speel in die band, of hy is die pastoor. Right? En dan stap ons met al die goed rond, en die Here sê vir ons, dis genoeg. If we want to move forward, and if we want to have authentic growth, then we need to become honest with our hearts. And we need to bring our hearts into the conversation so that freedom can come. Otherwise, we will never be a safe community for the world out there to trust us enough with their own brokenness. Because they're going to walk in here, in my church, and any other shofar church, and they're going to pick up just like that. Hierdie mens is te perfect vir my. Almal ken die liedjies, ek ken nommer 1 die liedjies nie. Almal weet waar om te gaan, almal dat, al die goed. And so we have to have, and that's why the testimony was such a blessing this morning. Thank you for sharing that testimony, just that journey. We can share our testimonies even when we are still on our journey. Amen. I'm still on my journey. We're still trusting God for 100% healing. But hey, we're 30% better than what we were last month. And we celebrate that. Right? Instead of this high standard where everybody needs to get to, and actually everybody knows I can't get there. And then we just withdraw. Okay, ek gaan nie, is die manier, ek gaan klaar kry nie. So kom ek dit gou recalibrate. I believe we are in the dispensation of the restoration of the tabernacle of David. Those two kings. Saul was trapped in a world of externals. Saul was self die ou wat gekies was op grond van hoe gelyk het, né? Kop en skouers uitgestaan bo die res. Kop en skouers uitgestaan. Dinamies, charismaties, beste spreker, beste dit, beste dat. Ons kan nie dieselfde gees in die kerk hê nie. Now, we cannot judge one another. We cannot promote people. We cannot value people based upon how they look. Based on external impressions. God is asking us to move beyond that. To go into a place where we listen to God. What is God saying about the brother next to me? You'd be surprised about the world changes, community changes, and people impact the lives of those around sitting in small group with you. Let's open up our eyes again. Trust God, like David, to live from the inside out. So what happened to Saul? Because he was living from the outside in, he was trapped within the fear of man. The opinion of man. What is man thinking of me? For us as shofar congregation for a while, you know, we grew so fast. It was so incredible. It was actually quite cool to be part of shofar. It was lekker geweest om deel te wees van shofar. Was die hip ding, was die in ding. Jy was nogal cutting edge as jy daar was. En toe gaan ons deur 'n bietjie van 'n wobble, nê, 'n groot wobble. En skielik stap ons nou 'n bietjie soos Jakob, nê. Die Jakob was nou klaar as daar met die Here geworstel het toe. Ek moet nie hoe gestap het, maar die Bybel sê hy het 'n bietjie mank gestap. Hy het met die engel geworstel en sy heup was toe nie meer so lekker na die tyd nie. Hy het met 'n bietjie mank gewees na die tyd. Een van die redes hoekom ons nou sulke goeie verhoudinge kan ontwikkel en bou met die res van die liggaam van Christus, is God het dit eintlik in ons koppe ingekry, dat ons is nie so oulik nie. Ons is nie so oulik so wat ons gedink het nie. Die flipside van daai coin is ons ouliker as wat ons dink. Ons is nie so oulik so wat ons gedink het nie, maar ons is ouliker as wat ons dink. Die realiteit agter dit is, dis onmoontlik vir ons om empatie, medelee te hê met ander mense indien ons nie bewus is van ons eie swakhede nie. Indien ons nie eerlik is met ons eie swakhede nie. En so vir ons nou as 'n liggaam is dit so lekker om met ander gemeentes saam te kan werk, te kan leer by ander gemeentes. Miskien weet ons almal het voete van klei. Miskien weet ons dat die genade van God is iets wat ons op 'n daaglikse basis nodig het. En ons almal het dit in gemeen met mekaar. Samuel daag vir Saul uit op 'n stadium. Want Saul raak ongeduldig, hy maak hier die brandoffers aan die Here en hy probeer om die Here se guns wen. Nee, hy moes gewag het. Hy raak ongeduldig, kon nie wag vir die profeet om te kom nie. En Samuel daagde op en vra vir hom, "Has the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and to listen than the fat of rams." Dis gehoorsaamheid uit die hart uit wat vir die Here tel. Nee, nie Hoe gereeld doen ek dit? Hoe gereeld doen ek dat? Hoe lyk het vir die mense op die oppervlak nie? En David het besef in Psalm 51 vers 16, ek gaan maar so 5 minute klaar maak, Psalm 51 vers 16 sê, "You will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Dit is nie die uiterlijke goed nie. Nee, en ek dink ons allemaal weet het, maar ons moet het toch vir mekaar sê, genoeg en oor, en die Heer is nie beïndruk deur ons geestelike activiteite nie. Nee, niks wat ons kan doen, wat om vir ons liever kan laat wees nie, niks wat ons kan doen, wat om minder lief kan laat wees vir ons nie. Ons kan nie die Heer beïndruk nie. Al wat ons kan doen, is om eerlik te wees voor hom, en ons harte na hom toe te bring, en uit ons harte uit vir hom te dien. You will not despise a broken and a contrite heart. En so, ek wil vir julle vraag, omdat ek hierdie vraag is, deur te werk in julle klein groepie, want het gaan nie tyd het om in diepte dat deur te gaan nie, maar die type vraag is, mens met jou hart begin worstel, begin werk, buiten net, hoe gereeld kom ek kerk toe? Ken ek al die liedjies? Dien ek? As hoekom doen ek wat ek doen? Hoekom doen ek wat ek doen? Ek het hierdie vraag van ons pastoorde gevra, hoekom is jy pastoor? Why are you leading this church? Why are you serving in this church? Why are you at this church? Because if you don't answer that question, somebody else will come and answer that question for you. Somebody else will come and give you a purpose and a reason. But if you can be honest, you can start engaging. And often what we do when we look at questions like that is, we look, okay, so wat is die regte antwoord om te gee? Nee, dis moet ons conditioneer is, wat is die regte antwoord om te gee hierso? En het gaan nie so seer oor die regte antwoord nie, as wat het gaan oor die gesprek. Have the conversation with God. Here, ek is nie eintlik regtig seker hoekom ek hier is nie, in hierdie gemeente nie. Ek weet nie meer so lekker nie. Dalk het ek geweet eens op 'n tyd, maar ek weet nie nou meer nie. Of dalk weet, ek weet, toe ek al instap, toe voel hierdie soos huis. God sê vir my, hierdie is my plek. So as dit is, hoekom ek hier is, hanteer ek die mense om my dan nog soos familie? Stel, hoekom die vraag so belangrijk is? Hoekom is ek by die werksplek? Ek is nou by Perel Gim as onderwijser, of wat die geval ook al mag wees. Hoekom is ek hier so? Heere, man iets my woord te gee, my finale jaar, jy maak vir my deur oop by die school, en ek gaan as een vader wees en figureer vir kinders om my. Of dis, ek het die advertentie gesien, ek het aansoek gedoen. Heere, ek besef, ek het nie enig een visie nie, geef my een visie. Verstaan julle? Hoekom doen ek wat ek doen? Hoekom is ek in Parel? Hoekom woon ek hier? Hoekom is ek hier? Van ons moet ek vrou, hoekom is ek getrouwd met die persoon met wie ek getrouwd is? Heer daar gesprek, want my hoekom bepaal eindelijk my wat en my hoe. En so baie keer focus ons net op die hoe, ons focus net op die wat, ons werk met mekaar oor, kom ons doen kerk een bykie beter, maar ons moet met mekaar gesels oor hoekom doen ek wat ek doen. Have that conversation. So, God was op hierdie reistocht met ons die afgelopen ruk, en soos wat ons na Convergence toe gaan, wil ek of julle vinnig net herinner, een paar jaar terug, ons laaste Convergence by Rotanga Junction, was hierdie vers wat God in ons harte kom inmessel het. Nee? En ons allemaal het nie heeltemal geweet hoe dit gaan uitspeel nie, maar te midde van ons hewigste storm ooit, het God hierdie vir ons gesê, Jesus bezig om te bid teenoor Vader God, en hy sê, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." God het gekom, en hy het vir ons kom leer wat het beteken om een te wees. As ek gedink ons weet, ons nie klue gehad nie. En hy het gekom, en hy het vir ons deur sy Heilige Gees, deur moeilike tye, en deur goeie tye, vir ons kom wys wat het beteken om een te wees met mekaar. En ek het groei gesien in ons midde, een groei wat nie gebaseer is op, ek gaan het maar in Engels sê, it's not based on uniformity, but on a bond of the spirit, that's rooted in the cause of Christ to see the lost, saved, and discipled. Being one is not, we are all doing everything the same way. I've got no expectation, together with the rest of the apostolic team, that Shofar Paul will look like Shofar Wellington, or Shofar Paul will look like Shofar Stellenbosch. Our unity does not lie in the fact that we do everything the same way. We are individuals, uniquely gifted by God, and that individuality will manifest within a congregational setting as well, even as we journey together within the broad parameters of what God has called us to do. So we want to have the same values. We want to love one another. We want to disciple people. We want to raise up leaders. We want to plant churches. We want to have those broad things. But how you do it will be up to you. That is what we are growing into. Being one, not on the outside. Want hier is die ding, né? Ons kan gemeente soos hierdie hê reg oor ons kerkgroep. En ons kan al hierdie goed hê wat dieselfde is. Al die oranje vlaai, al die corporate goedjies. En ons kan super verdeeld wees in ons harte. Want op die uiterlijke lyk ons oké. Okay. En ons kan in plekke wees waar ons niks van die goed hê nie, maar in ons harte, we are aligned with one another. Amen? Can we? Right, so I just want to set you guys free, if you ever needed setting free, to be yourself. Amen? Be yourself the way God has wired you to be. You don't have to dress in a specific way, speak in tongues in the same way. I pray to God that you do because it's good for you, right? But your unique gifting will be different. The way God manifests through you will be different. And then God moved us on to just this beautiful verse in John 13, 34, which says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Band, if we can come up. Just as I've loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. En so die Here het vir ons geneem in 'n plek in van waar ons moes groei in ons liefde vir mekaar. Nee, 'n liefde wat nie gebaseer is op die feit dat ons oor alles ontwendig saamstem nie, maar 'n liefde wat sterk genoeg is, waar ons kan verskil van mekaar en kan sê, net omdat ons verskil van mekaar, beteken dit nie, ons stap weg van mekaar af nie. Amen? Nee, net omdat ons verskil van mekaar, oor die manier hoe dinge gedoen kan word, of dalk selfs oor die manier hoe dinge gedoen was, beteken nie, ons stap weg van mekaar nie. Because that is not what family do. Family don't walk away from one another at the first disagreement. We are known for our love. En dis mos lekker, nee, die eerste paar maande en jare wat van jou huwelik, dis lekker, alles, dis net amazing. Mense wat marriage prep doen aan die begin voor hulle getroud is, luister nie eens na die goed nie. Want ons gaan nooit verskil van mekaar nie, en ons kan miskien 'n paar finansiële tips optel en so aan, maar hierdie conflict resolution goed, nee, en dan 'n rukkie later, dan skryf jy maar weer in, en nou luister jy. Nee? So when you say, I love you, 10 years later, 15 years later, it means something completely different than what you did when you stood there. You meant it, natuurlijk het jy dit bedoel, maar die diepte daarvan is heeltemal anders. En vir ons as kerkfamilie om nou te sê, man, ek is deel van Shofar, en ek is lief my broers en my sisters, beteken ietsie anders as die dag toe ons 10 jaar, 20 jaar terug, 5 jaar terug, wat ook al, saved geraak en gedink die son skyn het allemaal uit. En allemaal is heilig en perfect. Amen? Right, want ons ken nou bietjie meer van mekaar. Ons weet waar hulle mekaar se swakpunte en goed, and we are making a choice to love one another. Because ultimately love is a verb and a choice. Right, and so we're growing in that to where we're heading to, where Luke 15 verse 4 to 5, the sound of the harvest is being stirred to us. The sound of the harvest. And God is saying, as you are one with one another, not based on externals, as you are growing in your love for one another, not based upon your agreement, I will begin to trust you with a harvest. Want as ons verdeeld en versplinterd is, gaan die Here dan nou die harvest aan ons kan toevertrou? Gaan hy dan nou 'n skaapie kan vat wat hy dat iewers die bos het opgetel het en dat hier in ons midde kom sit terwyl ons besig is om eindelijk maar heeltemal disconnected van mekaar te leef? Ek dink hy gaan dit doen nie, nee. But if there's a safe place where there's a strength in love, a love that has been tested, I believe that's a place that God is wanting to send the harvest to. And I believe with all of my heart, Shofar Paul, that God has prepared us to be safe places. Safe places for the loss that's coming in. But I want to ask you that you would with me just come and bring your heart before the Lord this morning. I led our pastors in this prayer. It's a prayer of deliverance. It's a prayer that I've asked them to pray because as pastors, leaders especially, we can lose sight of our hearts very quickly. It can happen to any one of us. It's a prayer that Mother Teresa prayed often. She didn't write the prayer, but it's a prayer that she prayed often. It's a prayer of deliverance. And it basically asks God to deliver me from my obsession with the external things. Help me to live from my heart. Help me to follow you from my heart. I want to ask you that you would stand with me. And I want to pray this prayer for us. And after we've prayed this prayer, we can just bring our hearts before the Lord. And and worship Him with that song. And then as we sing that song, I want to ask you that if you know that God is speaking to you into your heart, that there's something just in your heart that you haven't had a conversation with God about for a while. Could be a failure, could be the dreams that you dreamt about the kingdom of God. You're not dreaming those dreams anymore. It could be the fact you've disengaged from your brothers or your sisters in this congregation. It could be that you haven't had a conversation with your mom or your dad in a while. Whatever it is, it could be a sense of shame. It could be that you feel that God has forgotten you. You're just going through the motions. That you bring your heart before the Lord. Not make Him any promises. Ons moet goed daarmee, sodra die Here met ons praat, dan maak ons alweer beloftes, né? Ja, Here, ek gaan hierdie nou beter doen, ek gaan dit so doen en dat so doen. Net jou hart vir die Here te bring. Dis sê, Here, ek wil in groeiende eerlikheid met U stap oor my hart. Hier is my hart, Here. Ek wil uit my hart uit met U leef. I want the springs of life to be opened up. And so this is the prayer I'm going to pray with you and for you. Oh Jesus, meek and humble of heart, hear me. From the desire of being esteemed, deliver me. From the desire of being loved, deliver me. From the desire of being extolled, deliver me. From the desire of being honored, deliver me. From the desire of being praised, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being preferred to others, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being consulted, deliver me. From the desire of being approved, deliver me. From the fear of being humiliated, deliver me. From the fear of being despised, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of suffering rebukes, deliver me. From the fear of being slandered, deliver me. From the fear of being forgotten, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being ridiculed, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being wronged, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being suspected, deliver me, Jesus. That others may be loved more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be esteemed more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be chosen and I set aside, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be praised and I unnoticed, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be preferred to me in everything, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may become holier than I, provided that I may become as holy as I should, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. Father, I thank You for this congregation, Lord. I thank You for hearts that You have kept alive, Lord, through the years. I thank You for the flames of passion that are still burning there. I thank You for a congregation, Lord, that has refused to settle for the mediocre, Lord, that has refused to settle for simply surviving. But Father, who have a yearning and a hunger and a thirst to have the springs of life flow through them. I thank You for the calling that You have given them to have Your Word live inside of them like a consuming fire and to be like a hammer that shatters the rock. I thank You, Lord, for a congregation that will have that Word flow through individual hearts so that the hardness of religion and hypocrisy and hardness of heart will be shattered in this community. Father, I thank You for the promise that You have given us that You will take the heart of stone out of our flesh and give us a heart of flesh. And I thank You for people here who will not be afraid of their humanity, will not be afraid, Lord God, of walking with You in honesty and vulnerability, and will not be afraid of walking with one another in that same way. Father, I thank You for Your grace upon this church to grow, Lord, into a safe place. Lord, I just sense as I walked in here this morning already that this is such a place, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that You will continue to just cause them to grow even in that measure to a greater extent. And I thank You, Lord God, for the Davids in this place. I thank You for those, Lord, who will once again just take off Saul's armor. Who will take it off and will say, but I know my God.
I know him who delivered me from the lion and from the bear. And I don't need somebody else's armor. I don't need somebody else's opinion. I don't need somebody else's dream. I don't need somebody else's vision of me. I can walk in the fullness of what God has called me to do, humbly and in recognition of the counsel of many. But I will not abdicate God's call upon my life. I just sense that there are some of us here and we've abdicated the calling that God has given us. We've almost placed it in, almost like you've placed it in shofar's hands. And you feel like, oh man, they're not doing this. They're not getting this. They're not releasing me. And I'm here to say to you, you don't need anyone's permission for you to be obedient to God. Get the counsel, get the input from those around you. But take off the armor of the opinion and the fear of man. Take it off. You haven't been called to live in that. And so, Father, I just release dreamers to dream. I release, Lord God, intercessors to pray. I release evangelists to evangelize. Lord, I release those with apostolic giftings, Lord God, to do new things, to plant new things, to break open new ground. I release the teachers to teach, Lord. I release the pastors to pastor, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for a release to set the captives free in this valley. Lord, a release for the springs of life to flow from one heart to the next, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Thank you. I had this picture of some of you. You've placed your heart almost like in a glass chamber, but it's encased in soos in 'n metaal omhulsel, jou hart ingesit. And it is sterk en is stewig en is amper ondeurdringbaar. Maar jou hart is ver van jou af. En dat die Here vir jou vanoggend, soos wat ons hierdie liedjie sing, net uitnooi om te kom en weer net jou hart sag voor die Here te kom maak. Om hom te vra om dit sag te maak voor die Here te kom neerlê. As we just return to the heart of worship. Thank you, Father.